Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh ye shall not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall even be an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins or scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep, going upon all four, shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed nor cheweth the cud are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean. Whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So shall it be cleansed. And every earthen vessel, whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean. Whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. And if any beast of which ye may eat die, he that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the even. And he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have then one of the first statements of the Old Testament dietary laws, the laws of the clean and the unclean. Now, what have we just done in the book of Leviticus? We think of it as a standing alone book. Yes, it's part of the Pentateuch. But there is a particular purpose to the book of Leviticus. There's a particular sweep, a warp and woof of the thought. So, at the beginning of it, in chapter 1, all the way through chapter 10, what have we done? We have looked at the holy things of God and the holy people that surround the holy things of God. We've looked at God himself and his character as holy. We've looked at the worship of God and its character as holy. We've looked at the things of God and their character as holy. And we've even seen a grand object lesson about profaning that holiness in Nadab and Abihu. And with all of that, then, we've learned that when we come to the God that is, we come to him to worship him in a holy manner. What do we learn here there in chapter 11 and moving forward? Well, the first thing that we learn is that holiness does not stop when we leave the worship of God. That we're Christians every day. That we are to be a holy people to God all the time. And so this Israelite who raised himself up from his sacrifice and now from the place of the tabernacle, walking to his home, he's looking around him. He's watching what's going on around him. And he gets the distinct impression that the world itself is a wild and woolly and unclean place because it is inhabited by all of these animals that are off limits to him. The Lord God has said, I'm a holy God, you'll be a holy people, and so even what you eat will be holy. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that this does not stop in the Old Testament. You say, well, Pastor, I've seen you have bacon. Yes, I have. That's right. Because what stops is the incidental, and what continues is the moral. The incidental is not this but that. as far as the menu is concerned. But the principle that underlies it is most assuredly still in force. In fact, just perform a little experiment sometime this week if you have time. Get out your Bible program where you can do a search of the King James Bible, or get out your Strong's Concordance and look up the words clean and unclean throughout the New Testament and tell me, does that category still exist in our day? Well, it most certainly does. It's just now it's not related to food. Now in the days of the church's majority, in the days of our adulthood, of our maturity, the clean and unclean pertains to how we conduct ourselves morally living in this world. Clean and unclean are still categories that apply to the people of God. And so this guy's walking home from church, and he says, man, I'm hungry. Rabbit. Nope, not for me. Oh, there's a bat. Nope, not for me. I'm holy unto the Lord. There's a bullock. Yum, yum. That's good. That I can eat. And there is this discrimination that he's making. Whenever he gets up in the morning and he decides it's time to have some breakfast and he's going to go out into the field and find something to eat, he's going to go get some chicken eggs, or he's going to go get some quail eggs, or he's going to go get some quail, whatever it is that he's going to do, the choice that he makes reminds him every time he opens his mouth to eat that he is holy unto the Lord his God. And that the world around him is a place that is defiled and full of things that will defile. Isn't that a wonderful lesson? And it was taught to a church underage in the way they ate. Brothers and sisters, we don't need that kind of lesson anymore. And so, in Acts chapter 10, we hear, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Because we're not to be concerned with foods anymore as ceremonially clean or unclean. Now, you want to do things for your diet and you think you're more healthy doing this or that, knock yourselves out. That's fine. No problem there. But don't make it religious. Don't come to church and expect someone to say, ooh, how holy, when you said, I abstained from bacon all week this week. Don't expect that to happen. But if you said, every time this particular temptation came up, I fled from it, and please pray for me that I'll keep doing that, then you are indeed putting into practice what is being taught in Leviticus chapter 11. Now, let's take this a next step. This was also to teach them, not only was the world around them unholy with regard to the animals, but the people around them were unholy in that the way that they ate, they defiled themselves. So the menu had certain things that pertained, and I know that there's a large movement out there that's, let's return to biblical eating because it's healthy eating. It may be. It may not be. That's not the point of the narrative here. You know, you don't stay away from catfish because they're bottom dwellers and they eat bad things and you'll get those bad things in you. You stay away from catfish in the Old Testament because you're a holy people before the Lord and He told you not to eat things that don't have scales on them. So you stayed away from that to support your understanding that you were holy, a holy people unto the Lord, not if I don't eat catfish, I'll live longer or I'll have less sickness. That may have been an incidental, or it may not have been. But the point that God is making is, number one, these animals are off limits to you. And number two, you're not to eat like everybody else does out there upon the face of the earth. They're not a holy people unto me. They have no concept of that. And so they don't mind eating bats. Yeah, not that I've ever eaten a bat. So the point that God is making here is not only is He separating a people unto Himself, but He is separating a people from the rest of the people upon the face of the earth. And so whenever then an Israelite would travel in another land, he is forced all the more to remember how separated he is unto the Lord his God and the nation of Israel as a holy nation unto the Lord. And so if you just sit down for a while and think about this, he gets up in the morning, and we're going to see other legislation that's coming here. Whenever he hooks up his animals to his plow or to his wagon, he's going to be reminded of this. When he plants his fields, he's going to be reminded of this. When he harvests his food, he's going to be reminded of this. When he goes to town and there are Gentiles there, he's going to be reminded of this. When he wants to stay somewhere in an inn that has a restaurant in it, a place to eat in it, an eatery in it, he's going to be reminded of this. Everything where he turns about in this establishment, this Old Testament establishment, he's going to be reminded that he is a holy man unto the Lord his God, not to be like the rest of the people upon the face of the earth. And brothers and sisters, that concept hasn't changed. That still belongs to us. Do you, let's make it really personal, do you consider yourself a holy man, woman, child, unto the Lord your God, separated out from all of the rest of the people upon the face of the earth, to be holy unto your Lord? And so, there are certain places you don't go, certain things you don't do, and certain ways that you don't go about them, because you're holy unto the Lord. You see, that hasn't changed. And that will never change. We sometimes speak about the antithesis. And I think the antithesis is a strong and biblical understanding of things. That is, that there's an antithetical relationship between God and everything else, and the people of God and everything else. There is something to be said for that. Now, we don't want to do that so much that we, you know, world flight becomes a thing and then we must go out of the world. That's not what the Bible is teaching. What the Bible is teaching is that we are to be out and in and among the world, and yet, while we're in and out and among the world, we are not living like the world. We are separated from the world. We are the light that is set on the hill. We are shining that light so that men may see our good works and glorify God who is in heaven. In other words, not only are we to be a holy people unto the Lord, but our holiness is such that it would draw others as well to the Lord. So that just as in the Old Testament, the nations around them would say, "What nation is there like this nation upon the face of the earth, to whom God has visited with all these great and holy laws?" So also should it be that it would be said of us, "What church is like this church?" Not CCRPC, but this Christian church, to whom the Lord has visited in such a way to give them a great and peaceable way of living, to give them a wonderful way of conducting themselves, such that they are the happiest people upon the face of the world, because they live holy lives unto the Lord their God. You see, that principle hasn't changed. And so, you know, scholars are cloven, divided over how this looks. Why these animals and not other animals? Well, there are some general tendencies, okay? So, if something was involved, if an animal was somehow involved in something that was unclean, then generally it was unclean. Okay? So that's why the only animals that you could eat were, number one, they chewed the cud. So all predators are off limits. Why? Well, because predators often feed on carrion. Carrion is what? Something that's dead. Something that's spoiled. Something that's rotten. Something that's spoiled or rotten, you know, listen, I'm no doctor and I'm no nutritionist. May or may not be healthy. I don't know. But I know this. It smells. It's unpleasant. It represents, because of its unpleasantness, it's used in Scripture to represent corruption and defilement. And so symbolically, those animals were off limits because they partook in corruption and defilement in their eating. And so they're off the menu. Then there was this other stipulation, where the hoof had to be cloven. Cloven. And by cloven, what that means is there had to be a division there. Well, it's not a far leap of logic to say that the Lord is teaching them to divide themselves from the people of the land by only eating from animals that have a cloven hoof. I mean, what would separate the horse otherwise except that it does not have a cloven hoof. It has a solid hoof. Right? Big animal, big strong animal, a lot of meat. But it doesn't divide the hoof. It doesn't separate. And that hoof, I think, was a sign of separation. Now, I'll not be dogmatic on that, but you can see the tendency that we are to divide ourselves from the rest of the people upon the face of the earth, and we are to do so in such a way that we are to avoid defilement. And all of these animals that are predators, well, they eat carrion. They eat things that are defiled, so we'll not eat them. And all of these animals that don't have their foot that's divided, since we are recognizing that we are divided from all of the people upon the face of the earth unto the Lord our God, we won't eat them either. So, maybe that helps you to understand why these animals are not other animals. And that may be true, and it may be a little bit off the mark, but in my own meditations, that's where I've come down. All right, thus ends the reading of Leviticus chapter 11.